Nights in the Caribbean.
Pirates in the Caribbean.
Pirates in the Caribbean.
Ramadan Mubarak, welcome back, Muni. Welcome to another episode of Ramadan 2024. Guys, we did well. Please, sorry for last
week.
This
is the second and only episode that you'll receive in Ramadan. Two episodes better than nothing.
Charge, exactly. Yes. At least two is better than zero.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But before we go into our episode and I tell you guys things, can you please like, comment, subscribe? It's Ramadan, come on.
She's like a saleswoman. Okay, go.
I have to be a saleswoman.
By the way, the name of the podcast is Pirates in the Caribbean podcast.
Yes, okay.
It's okay. She's fasting.
I am fasting.
I'm not.
Cheers. Put that down. But before we get into the episode, I want to talk about this charity that's very close to my heart. This charity is called the Halima Sheikh Foundation. And it was set up around COVID time, just before COVID, like 4 years ago. So mm-hmm. It's a charity set on behalf of a beloved Halima Sheikh Yusuf and Bana Ali to help the underprivileged and orphans in Somalia. So this charity was based because one of my late friends and some of my friends today, their mum passed away and their brother-in-law, actually five members of their family passed away, including one of my really close friends, So, and every time I hear her name, like I told you, I get really emotional, subhanAllah.
I'm just trying to let you get through the sentence because I was expecting you to go down.
Yeah. So this charity is like really important. Like, so they have a Ramadan appeal this year. So this is their fourth year. So they started 2020 and this Ramadan appeal, we're going to link everything on our YouTube, on our Instagram, on our TikTok. Please follow them. Please try to donate as much as you can, even if £1. And just to remind you that it was narrated from Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhayni that the Messenger of Allah said, whoever gives food for a fasting person to break his fast, he will have the reward like his theirs, without that detracting from their rewards in the slightest. So always charity is always good. Last year they managed to feed I think about like more than 12,000 people. Okay, we'll put videos inshallah. Of like subhanAllah, like the packages, the people in Somalia starving. So inshallah, please donate as much as you can to the Halima Sheikh
Foundation. So it's iftar packages that iftar they're doing packages, in the last like, 10 nights of Ramadan?
Yes. Okay. They do like dry food as well, dry packages like rice, beans, things like that. So please
share, please. Even if you can't donate, just share it.
Yeah, even if you can't donate, just share it. It'll be, yeah, please. Because it's a very, very close charity to my heart. Because obviously my friend passed away as well due to COVID and plus other four members of her family. So, Allah rahma. So inshallah khair. Yeah, thank you guys. But yeah.
Okay, so on a happier note.
Yes.
So you would have noticed that we have a guest today. So we have the wonderful Danielle on, a former student of mine who has blossomed into a beautiful young woman. Yeah. So proud to have her here. And we're going to have a great discussion. I will make a disclaimer now. Danielle is going to call me Miss throughout the episode.
I'm so glad you said that.
And that's actually okay. It's fine. Any one of you who know, when you see your teachers outside of school, no matter how old you get, you're still going to call them Miss and Sir. So for today's episode, I am Miss Williams.
Yeah. When she was in the car, she was like, oh, Miss Williams. I said, huh? I was so confused. I was like, oh my God.
It's not just her. They all do it. No matter how old they get. So,
the cutest thing ever.
Welcome, Danielle.
Welcome, Danielle, to Pirates and the podcast.
Yeah, so obviously, just to begin with, tell us a little bit about yourself and where people can find you and, you know, what's important to you in life.
Don't be shy, girl.
Okay, so I'm Danielle Coleman. She forgot her age.
I'm 21.
She was like,
I was like, about 20 or 21.
She's 21
now. Okay, babe, I forget my age.
She's 21.
I make natural hair and skincare products for a company called Oxford. My company called Oxford Essence.
Her company.
I also recently started a business with my business partner called Unplugging the Root, where we help people, mainly entrepreneurs, uncover the root causes of their traumas and anxieties and put actionable things in place to start overcoming it. So they move from just surviving and getting by to actually start thriving.
Ooh. Imagine if somebody had taught me to thrive at
a young age. I know, right?
If only. Listen,
these young people are ahead of us.
Yes. But she's always been ahead of the game, this one. She arrived ahead of the game.
That's good.
Yes. So we brought Danielle here because recently Danielle had a workshop that she delivered. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was to do with mother-daughter relationships.
Yeah, mother-child relationships.
Mother-child relationships. And it is something that we wanted to kind of discuss because, I mean, Ikran's a mom, Danielle's a mom, I'm finna be a mom.
Inshallah!
So we thought it would be a great discussion to have. So, well, to start with, can you just say a little bit more about, like, what your event was about and what was your intention behind it? What are you trying to give to the people?
Yeah.
So the event was about getting people to understand where trauma stems from within family and also to understand what trauma actually is. Because we think it's some crazy thing. I used to think trauma was only for people in the army that see bombs and grenades.
Yeah, that's
and
true. That's actually true.
Like, you think that that's what trauma is, but it's not. It's literally when your nervous system is overloaded. And there's a lot of things that we call culture, but it's trauma being passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to kind of, I kind of mixed it with telling my story of things like my journey with anxiety and stuff. So I was talking about it, talking about seeing your coping and defense mechanisms, your triggers and stuff, because these are all signals to show that there's a problem. Hello, pick up. Like, when you have a trigger, it's not that, oh my gosh, I'm triggered. No, I'm calling you that there's something you haven't dealt with, you need to pick up, instead of complaining that you've been triggered.
That's true. Like, people just say I'm triggered and keep stepping.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time. I'm triggered. And then you just carry on about your life.
Guilty.
Yeah. That's actually very true.
So it was mainly about that, but for people to have a deeper understanding, because I don't just explain it on the level of this is what a trigger is this time, but also the physiological level of how things stick with you even after the fact. Because sometimes it's like, it's already happened, you just get over it. But no, like, it's literally, it rewires your body and your nervous system. So next time you find something, you encounter something similar, you're going to, even though you're not in danger, your nervous system is going to think you're in danger. That's when you start to have these self-sabotaging things that you might do because of that one thing that happened.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
that
true.
Actually is like, when I really think about what you're saying, and you really think about yourself,
I'm trauma all over.
You don't, and I think that is what it is. I think because in my head, right?
Yeah.
You think to yourself, like, I haven't truly suffered. I'm not from a war-torn country.
Mm.
I've never seen anything terrible. So you think, well, how can I say that I have trauma? That's a disrespect to people who really have it. Because, again, when I think of childhood trauma, I think about people who were beaten within an inch of their life.
Yeah.
You know, people who really had to, they had no schooling because they had to go and work or they were in the fields doing this. I don't think about, in a way, again, forgive me, world, but sometimes I think in my head, I'm like, bruv, I'm in the West. What trauma? You know? Obviously, that's not true. But I think sometimes you feel guilty for even trying to suggest that you've got traumas when you feel like you've had a privileged life in a lot of ways. But just because you've had a privileged life in comparison to, say, maybe somebody who grew up, you know, back home and might have experienced things differently, or somebody who comes from an abusive household, it doesn't mean that you haven't experienced any trauma. But I think black people, we're not, especially the older generation, we're not the best at acknowledging trauma.
No.
Even when somebody does try to talk about it, people are like, you know what I've been through. Like, do you know what I've been through? Like, what's that?
Exactly. Trauma Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's that thing of, the grass is greener on the other side. And also, you probably see that with students. Like, the student's acting out, but the parents always give them what they want. They never lack for anything. These are just ungrateful.
Yeah.
You're thinking that. But then the thing is, what you think, what your needs might have been is not what that child's needs are. And that's most of the time, it's from not having that attachment, that healthy attachment or that healthy space to have that communication with the parent. So if you have a child and every time the child tries to get your attention, it's like, oh, take the iPad, take the phone, take your toys, go and play.
It's just but rejection.
Then, yeah. And you never, the only time you give them attention is when they're bad. So now you've taught them, for me to get your attention, I need to be bad. So when they're doing all this badness, you've taught them that for them to actually get your undivided attention, they need to do a madness. Mm-hmm. But then you come back and complain, this is a bad breed pickney, this time they are.
And you, I definitely see that at school, that there are some children who the only way they know how to get your attention is to be naughty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just do outlandish things, and it's like, but how did we get here?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And I guess it is because maybe they have learned that in the home or throughout their life that, you know, that's how you get attention, is you be naughty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that it does work.
Yeah.
That's the sad, that is the sad reality, is that it does work a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, when children start being destructive is when people start giving them all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the services, all of a sudden, they're all out there. And it's like, well, actually, if you had come to this child's aid earlier,
yeah,
or if you had done things differently,
mm-hmm,
they wouldn't even get here where they need all of these 10,000 different services. So actually, it's like we're failing children in a way from the very beginning stages. But I just wanted to go back to, like, when you were saying about the physiological changes in the body when someone experiences trauma. So can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
So while something traumatic is happening, what's it called? What's happening to your body is that the front side of the brain is what is actually in control of your decision making, your emotional regulation and whatnot. And the blood is literally going away from your brain to your limbs. Obviously, we know fight, flight, but that's literally what is going, what's happening. So when you're shouting at a child, you're hitting a child, or you're screaming, being reactive, they literally cannot comprehend what you're saying because the blood is not even there.
Yeah, they've just gone into
I've been a growth many times then.
It's like shock.
Always shouting.
Yeah. And
it's okay, but it's okay.
I'm feeling triggered. I'm feeling triggered. Love, please.
She's drinking what my dad to my child. No, listen, that's the whole reason we wanted to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because, right? But carry on.
Sorry.
I was like, my child's got trauma in his body. Yeah. He's fine.
Because literally the thing with that is, like, when you take antibiotics, the more you take it, the less it works, the more resistance. That's the same with shouting at your child. The more you shout at them, the more it's like, okay, and what
oh
next?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so now you're going to have to shout even more to get their attention.
Yeah.
And then also what happens is that your body associates things that happen within the moment with that trauma, with that thing, that feeling of your nervous system being overloaded. So you're going to either feel scared, feel rejected, feel alone, those like extreme feelings. And because your body does not want to go back to feeling those feelings or not feeling good enough, you develop coping and defensive mechanisms.
Mm.
So that's being defensive, that's lying, that is...
I can be really defensive.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like feeling triggered when someone is just telling you what to do, this, that, and the other, because
mm-hmm.
all your memories of people telling you what to do is people belittling you and making you feel like you're dumb. Or that me, I get triggered sometimes when it's like, why are you telling me what to do? But it's like, they literally just told you what to do, just giving you steps. Like, calm down.
Yeah. Do you think I'm stupid?
Yeah. And it literally, your system goes into that. So now, being told what to do is now associated with you're stupid, you're dumb. But no, they literally are just trying to help. And when you're aware and are able to identify what your triggers are, then you can... First, you see what your coping mechanisms are, then you can see the triggers. So that's how all these things form. So now, next time I'm put in a situation where someone is like, can you put the bucket in the bathroom? And then and I get triggered, I realise that, oh, it's from that time when I was a child, always being told what to do and being made to feel like I was dumb. That's why I feel upset, because someone has just simply told me what to do.
Mm. But and that person, it's not their fault.
Yeah. And it's because now your system has been wired to fight, to see that, oh, it's danger. They're going to make me feel less than. So now the coping mechanism comes in. I'm going to become defensive. I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to
become argumentative.
Yeah, become argumentative and stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's what happens physiologically. So now, because that rewiring is there, every time that's that emotion that is going to be connected to, even though the person is not being rude to you, they're not trying to make you out to be dumb.
Yeah.
They're simply, and it's that thing within to realize where it stems from within your childhood, because it's that, mostly it's from the home. Sometimes it might be an interaction maybe with teachers or another friend, but it's from early childhood that that connection has made, and now it's going to keep on following you.
Yeah.
And I like this quote, anything you run from will run you. So if you keep on running from it or you keep on ignoring it, it's going to keep on having control over you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think... So like, okay, I've been to therapy. I honestly, in my heart, believe that at some point, there's no more therapizing. I know that's not a word, yeah? But I think sometimes you can talk. Where's the action?
Thank right? you.
So I think if, again... I'm not saying don't go to therapy, because I went to it myself, but I did reach a point where I realized, okay, I have actually talked through every problem that I have. There's none left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also know what the roots of these problems are.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? And right? Yeah. So I stopped going mm-hmm. because I know what my triggers are.
Yeah.
What I have not mastered is what I'm supposed to do about them.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that I do talk to myself more, mm-hmm. not like, no,
it's okay.
I don't stand in the mirror being like, you, you know, but I mean like in situations where I can feel myself getting defensive,
yeah.
sometimes, nowhere near all the time. And when I say sometimes, I'm giving it 30%. 30% of the time, I can actually talk myself off the ledge.
Yeah.
And be like, you're moving mad. Nobody's attacking you. Calm down.
Yeah.
But 70% of the time,
you ain't hearing that.
No.
Yeah.
I can hear my sane self.
Yeah.
Is at the back saying, it's okay, you're not being attacked.
Yeah.
But it's too late. That other part of my brain is like, what? What are you trying to do? No. You just have to argue. Yeah. And sometimes it's about silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized as well. So like, for example, my husband is like the African politics general. Yeah, he knows about every president from he knows every country's history. He knows everything.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll be talking about something, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm not that knowledgeable about that stuff.
Yeah.
Hold
my
hands up.
Yeah.
I don't even know my own country's history.
Yeah.
Okay, not that far back anyway. I could talk about Maurice Bishop.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes. Yeah. But like, if I feel like sometimes when he gets in the zone, I feel like, no, he thinks I'm dumb. He thinks I don't know nothing. And then I'll start like being like, yeah, but how do you know that's true? And I'm thinking, why are you saying that? But in my head, I feel like I need to
get in there.
Yeah. And it's like, but why? It's okay that he knows this information.
Yeah.
You don't need to argue about something. And the joke is, what am I arguing for? I don't actually know the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to my own. I'm doing rebuttal and I don't even know what I'm rebutting. Does that even make sense?
Yeah.
But sometimes in that moment, I feel a bit dumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm... Yeah. No,
so then I start trying to argue about nothing, about dust. Like, what are you arguing about?
And that's true, you know. But, you know, you just made me think of something. Like, you know, I always say, having a teenager is ghetto. You know? And I feel like, yeah, Nabs now, raising him, I see myself... you know, you're talking about Daniel, about shouting?
Yeah.
I see myself shouting more. So we had an incident this week, yeah. I went mad. I said, arms out, let's go. He tried me. He really did this year. I've been tested in Ramadan. You know the little head dance? They said, get your son.
And the thing is, your child is not even bad. Bad
he's
and
not, but
he really ain't a bad kid.
But he tried me this this week, yeah? So he did something. My man's not trying to confess. Me, I know the truth. Let me tell you something. If I come to you to accuse you of something, I already know the truth. I just want to know if you are going to...
Be honest.
Be honest about it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I promise you, if I don't know nothing, I'm not coming to you until I get my proof. I've always been that type of person. Anyway, I said to him, what's this? So he rented, you know, the Lime.
The Lime bike.
Yeah, so he has
on your,
my Monzo.
On your Monzo.
Yeah, so he has my Monzo.
He still has the Monzo. We spoke about this.
I know.
We spoke about this.
I know.
So whatever happened, this is your fault. I want you to know that because we spoke about this.
But go on. So anyway, so I get
Oh no, did he not put the bike back and it put big charge?
Yeah, it put charge.
Okay, go on.
So, but he tried to deny it. He was like,
how much was the charge?
So this is him. It was like £20 or something.
Yeah, that means he didn't. You know, if you don't put it back properly,
that's what I said.
That they overcharge you. Yeah, it's a rip off. You have to really secure it in that thing. Otherwise, they'll think
he's
you're
like,
still
I'll
cycling.
Put it back. No. Okay, he did the bike, whatever. Yeah, didn't ask for my permission. It's not like I don't let him get whatever he wants. I said to him, what's this? First of all, I think what's Lime? So I started googling. I said, what is that? I started googling the Lime thing. So I said, oh, it's those electric bikes. And I said, first of all, why is he using this?
The kids use them all the time.
Why do you do... I'm baffled because I was like, you're supposed to... If I'm at work, he's supposed to go to my mum's house.
Mm.
If I'm not at work, he's supposed to come straight home. Do you know what I'm saying?
He probably rode
what
the bike home.
Yeah, he did ride it. So I said to him, what's this? He's like, oh, Lime. He's not trying to tell me what Lime is. So I'm googling. And I said, oh, it's the electric bikes. And I was like... He tried to deny it. He's like, no. I said, excuse me, the receipts are here. I can see everything. What are you talking about? He's like, okay, it was by accident. Oh, see, now you're triggering me.
He took the bike by accident.
He said it was accident. So you downloaded the app. You did everything. It's accident, yeah? It's not accident, Labs. You did it on purpose.
You put my card details in.
Exactly.
You downloaded the app. You registered.
Thank you. So basically, him being calm is triggering me. I'm bare shouting. I'm shouting. We got into a big argument that
and
I ended
still
up crying.
Denying.
You know what?
Wait, you was crying.
Yeah, how did I turn into the victim? I should have been victimizing him. No, but it was either way around. I turned into the victim.
Wait,
I turned into the victim.
How did you end up crying?
Because he said something and it really upset me,
okay,
and I
fair.
Was like I wasn't expecting it. And I was just really like, whoa, like, what's going on here, yeah?
Yeah.
He was acting very dramatic, and I'd never seen him from that side. And then he tried to stand up to me. I said, you know when you have the African moment?
She said the African moment?
When you were young, when you know you try to stand up to your parent, you're like, ah! He hit me when you didn't even hit them. All you did is like, mom, back off, yeah? I was like, huh? You're trying to stand up to me? Are you dumb? That's when I said, what South London, the clan's coming out. I'm going to finish you off today. So me and him, yeah? Arguing. So that's what I said to you. Maybe I shouldn't have shouted. And then I said, and then I went into.
He went into his defense mechanism. That's why he was shouting back.
Yeah, he started shouting at me. He started getting emotional as well. He's my son. Of course he will cry.
So you both crying with each other.
Yeah, basically. When my husband came home, he said, what's going on?
What am I entering?
I'm crying. He's like, oh. And then, so I was like, okay. And then I started going into this whole speech of like, what have I done? All I do is provide for you. All I do is try my best. All I do is this. And I was just
That's
thinking.
That's classic parent talking it.
Yes. I was like, I do this for you. I do that. You know, the sacrifices as a single. I've never seen single motherhood in my life. I've never seen.
Shut up before I break this chair.
I've always had my parents and my siblings. I'm not even, guys, it's not even funny.
I'm going to hurt myself now. You know what, Allah, good stuff.
You know what, Allah, yeah, it's not even funny. Well, Allah is not funny.
She said, I've never seen single mom in my life.
I'm glad you know. I've always knew. Alhamdulillah, I'm very privileged when it comes to that, yeah?
She said, I'm a single mom.
But I had to use that. I had to be like, I did everything for you. Would you call it the sacrifices that I've made? Like, you know? So I'm just... But the thing is, yeah, it made me think, like, honestly, I was thinking, like, I need to have a better communication with him. I can't, because all he did was say sorry to me. He's like, sorry, innit? I made a mistake. In my head, I'm thinking, and he looked apologetic. So me, I'm a softie. I was like, oh.
But I guess what else can he do?
What can I do after that? Look, my parents, the way we grew up here, we got beat. I'm gonna lie to you. If you did something wrong, yeah, you're getting same. Beaten up, bruv. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I don't parent him like that. I don't hit him. I don't do any of that stuff. Yeah, I might have pushed him, but I don't beat him. But I was just like, so how do I cope? How do I try to? Because now he's like, he's sorry, innit, mom. I'm sorry. He's messaging me. The next, I took his phone off. So I was like, nope. What can I do? Take off his PlayStation. Take off his phone. Like that's how I see it, as like a punishment. Take off this. I'm like, I'm not chatting to you. Like, leave me alone. I was angry. I didn't want to say more things. Like, you know, I didn't want to be. I didn't want to make the situation more worse than it was. But I was really, really upset. And then I was thinking, but Ikran, this is your fault. Like, you put yourself in this situation because, again, you don't have boundaries with him. You give him what you want. You spoil him too much. Like, you know, I do. He's a spoiled child. I'm not going to lie to you. He's my only child. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. And I guess also, like, as you said, it's the communication thing, right? I guess that's where you went wrong. It's the shouting.
Yeah, I just...
And then he just mirrored you. So then it's just mash up from
there. I shouted because I was like, he's trying to tell me it's an accident. That triggered me already. That was the point one. Psh. Don't lie to me. Just tell me the truth. Me, I'm like those people. Just tell me the truth. Then yes, you're still gonna face the consequences. But don't say to me. Don't try to make. You know me. I don't like being gaslighted. And I think it's something that comes from me. I think it's like I said, trauma. Maybe it's one of my traumas, isn't it? Yeah. I don't. One thing I don't like people try to gaslight me. That really that makes me very defensive. I'm like, don't do that because you're trying to tell me, oh, mom, it was by accident, by this, but no, it was not. I wasn't born yesterday. I even said to the classic, do you think I was born yesterday? Do you know how old I am? I am your age, mate. You know? Don't worry. Yeah. Like, don't worry, you're ancient. But still, so that's why. So I don't know what the next step is. I want to be a better parent. I really do. Especially now. Because, you know, Nabzi's always been a calm child.
Mm-hmm.
Good boy. Alhamdulillah, I've been blessed with a good child. The old teenage years. Woo! The waters are shaky. He's testing me. And he's not like he's a bad boy.
No.
He's mesquite. I have the nicest child ever. He's a good kid, inshallah. He's a good kid, yeah. But it's like, before, I think when he was younger, I could control him a little bit. No, I can't. Now he'll be like, what do you mean? Now he's asking me questions and I'm like,
you're questioning me? But I think this is the problem, right? I think,
what can I do next? That's my question. How do I become a better
parent? Is it a bad thing that a child asks an adult a question, though? And I think we've been socialized to believe that it is.
Yeah,
it's a disrespect for a child to ask us a question.
Yeah,
and it's talking back. Mm-hmm. But actually, what if the question is valid?
Yeah, they just want to know
but,
more.
But we grew up that with our parents saying that we can never talk back to
that's
them.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
But honestly, a lot of the time, they didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, but that was the rule.
They didn't make sense. That's why if something's not making sense, the natural reaction response is to ask a question, right?
Yeah.
But often the answer was because I said so. Yeah. To be fair, mm-hmm. I said that to a student this week. But at the same time, bruv, don't ask me if you can move seat in the seating plan. And then I say no, and you're like, but why? I made the seating plan in it because I said so. It's over. You cannot sit next to your mates.
But that's what I'm saying. Our parents, when we were young, expected us, yeah, when we have legit questions, even it's like, mom, you're not making sense. It doesn't matter.
You could never say that to him. You get
you can never talk back. You will never talk back. And then whatever our parents parent us, it does come mm-hmm. to us. Like, you know, we start parenting.
Yeah,
we
exhibit it.
And I'm like, when he's asking, I'm like, you can't ask me those type of questions. Because my mom asks me those questions and I
think that's the difference, right? It's like, it's a process of learning and also unlearning, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I think that for me, I am terrified of being a mom. I keep picturing my child at 30 years old laying on some therapy chair talking about, and it's one time. I swear to God, I have visions all the time. And I'm like, you ain't even given birth to the child yet. And you're picturing them being 30 years old on a psychiatrist's chair. Is everything okay back home? How can you jump 30 years from birth and you haven't even given birth?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But I keep thinking, like, what if I mess them up?
Mm.
Yeah. And then I keep looking at, you know, there's 101 different styles of parenting now. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think my mum was a fantastic parent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold tight, my dad as well, but I lived with my mum, yeah? My parents split up when I was 4, and my dad was there, but he didn't live in our house anymore, mm-hmm. right? So
I think my mum was a good parent, but my mum will openly tell you herself, my mum was a very stressed out woman.
Yeah.
She had 3 jobs. Mm-hmm. Not a 1. No. Not a 2. She had 3 jobs.
Yeah.
3. Okay. And she was tired a lot of the time. She was stressed a lot of the time. So her responses to us were not always the calmest.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes I'd be like, mum, airtime, mum, 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 mum. And then she'd be like, what? That's what she'd be like. You'd be like,
yeah, I,
girl, I was just trying to ask you why it rains. You know, I was just trying to find out why there's a rainbow.
But Moon, in the head, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and the thing is, my mum was so tired. But again, you don't think that, you don't know mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes I think to myself, okay, and even again, through being a teacher, sometimes you think you're going to be different as a parent, but sometimes the kids at school be getting on my nerves.
Yeah, but then the thing is, going back to both of them, and then I'll unpack the scenario, the thing with your son as well. It's not the child's responsibility to know what's going on with you.
No.
It's your responsibility to know how to destimulate yourself. Obviously, give grace to the older generation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's never the child's responsibility.
Of course not. They're a child.
And it's your responsibility to be able to communicate that or say, maybe during this moment, I can't respond to you. Give me 10 minutes. I'll come back and respond to you. So then you're not just airing the child and they don't feel rejected. And also having the tool of knowing how to destimulate that yourself. Obviously, they didn't know as well, but those are certain things. If you're going through that now, certain things you can use. Knowing how to calm yourself down, because before everything, is with even with this thing with your son, the first thing you should have done, not telling him off, just that, was calming yourself down first.
Yeah, because I was already on the path. I was already on the path to war.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah. And then after you're able to calm yourself down, you're showing your child what to do when they're in a stressful situation mm-hmm. as well. And then as you calm, because no one is responsible for your emotions. No one can make you act out of character or do something you don't want to do. Is about speaking in the eye. So saying why you're upset or why you feel triggered and that I'm upset because you're as you're lying to me, because whenever I'm lied to, I feel dumb.
Mm.
So you're making it about yourself. I'm not upset because of you. I'm upset because I feel dumb whenever I'm lied to, like you think I won't clock on. And then also, since your child was young, you teach people how to treat you. Have you taught him that saying sorry is empty? Because since we're young, almost say sorry. You're forcing your child to say sorry,
that's
but
true.
They don't know what they're sorry for.
Sorry, and it doesn't mean anything.
And it doesn't
really
mean anything.
Changed behavior is what shows the apology for real.
Yeah. So when they're apologizing, is he saying what he's going to do better? Is he saying what he did wrong? And are you saying that, oh, maybe next time this, that, and the other can happen, or next time I can call you and say, Mom, can I please do that? If it's no, no. And also with the boundaries, from young, we can teach kids boundaries, even with their body, which is one thing we're not taught a lot. African households, go to this auntie, she gave you a bath when you were 1 year old. Go to this auntie,
go and hug that person.
Yeah,
go and hug that uncle, meanwhile they're not your uncle. Go and hug that one, go and sit on this one's knee, you know, they just bought you that outfit, go and say thank you. Go, and it's like,
and then there's abuse in the family, and then you it happened. Why it happened? Because you didn't put any boundaries of that child, and what you call, like you said, their bodies, you know?
Yeah. And you didn't make them feel comfortable to say no, because it's disrespectful. Yeah. But if a child cannot set boundary with you, the person they love the most, how would they know to do it outside with other people?
That is a very
and
good
within
point.
Reason. Obviously, if it's something that's for their benefit, say that, this is what we're doing because why? Or try give them an option to make them think they have control. Because it's a thing where I'm always being told what to do. Like, I just want to feel like I'm a boss a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so try give them an option with something within what you want them to do. So it feels like they're making the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start to get to that thing of setting boundaries. But if they feel like they can never say no to you, one of the things, me too, recovering people pleaser. I just say yes, please, because I don't like discomfort. I don't like feeling like I've made someone upset. I don't like feeling like I'm stressing someone out. So just to get out of it, that's my coping mechanism. I'll just people please. And that has got me into so much rubbish, because you end up overextending yourself. You end up not being true to yourself, and you end up disagreeing to stuff. And I mentioned this recently. I was thinking like, am I just an easygoing person, or do I just have no boundaries? So I can just go with everything. And that's I realized true. It's just because I don't have no boundaries.
Actually mean?
Yeah. It means you don't have, because it's like when you have boundaries, especially in the African thing, it's seen as, when you think of this in pidgin, you just see your body. Like
translation?
I'm trying to translate it. Like, you think you're the ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, something. That's what they see it as. But no, I just have boundaries and I just stick to my boundaries.
Yeah.
So if from young, you've never actually, one, allowed your child to have boundaries with themselves. Two, you've not fully set boundaries with them and kept it with them. So if you say, this is going to happen if you don't do this, but that doesn't happen. Or if you make it so unrealistic, like, oh, a monster is going to swallow you if you don't eat your food. Like,
yeah, parents do madness in that stuff.
And it's true because I don't have boundaries, like, with my son. It's true. Mm-hmm. If I, like, with the monzo, me and Muni had a conversation about it before.
And I told you to delete that off his phone.
And then he will be like, oh, I need it or something. And then he'll tell me, like, a little sub story. And I'll be like, oh, okay. I can't let him starve. I can't let, I need to make sure he's got funds. I know. He will never. I know, but and then somehow I end up. He's end up having it back. Mm. I know it's my fault. And again, I just clocked today. No boundaries. I have no boundaries.
But it's not too late.
Yeah,
it's never too late to create boundaries. Do you understand?
Because I just need to be firm. I think with him, I'm not firm.
Yeah,
I don't have. You're right. Just thinking about everything that you said, I have no boundaries. I also have a little bit, maybe trauma, things like that. That's why I was just shouting, like, you know, without even. Because I was thinking, like, well, he thinks I'm a...
But also, you know, you grew up with your son.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes...
That's the problem as
that
well.
That can also be a difference as well. When you're growing up at the same time as your child,
yeah.
Because you had him when you was 19, you're not, you're a young mum. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, and also, let's be honest, that's how you used to get down.
Yeah.
You go outside and start swinging. Everybody know. Do you get what I mean?
Let me
so you don't know how to turn that off.
So when I was crying, I called my sister, and my mom. Yeah, my sister had to humble me and be like, I want you to go back, she said, in time and remember what kind of teenager you was. Yeah? She goes, your son is nothing compared to what you was. And I was like, oh, let me go back. The memory. Up, up!
Yeah.
I wasn't bad, but I did, obviously, like, I think I talked back to my mom and everything. So, and I was just like, oh, karma maybe? I don't know. Maybe, you know, because my mom always used to say to me, whatever you do to me, your child will do it to you. That always, and now I'm just like, oh.
But I think it's not like, even that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I think it's just, again, it's the... Obviously, I don't think it's that. You're not being paid back for some evil that you did.
I don't think ago. I was... Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it comes down to the same thing. Maybe your mum didn't have that much boundaries with you. Therefore, you now don't have that many boundaries with your son. Mm. Also, again, because you grew up with your son and you, like, in a way, you lot was growing up together under your mum.
Yes. And also, my mum, I realise she's a helicopter mum as well.
Yeah.
So she's very, like...
So, basically... It took a long time for you, before you got into the, you and him being mother and son.
Yeah.
You were more like brother and sister.
Yeah.
So for him to have, where were the boundaries coming from?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? You weren't making them yet.
Yeah.
So you have to give yourself a bit of grace in that there was a process.
Yeah.
You know, that was maybe missed. That when you have another child, inshallah, it's probably going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
Because you're actually an adult now and you won't be living in your parents' house with your child.
Yeah.
So it's very different. But I think with you and him, the big thing probably was is that your mum was creating the boundaries for him.
Yes.
And those boundaries were between her and him.
Because the
there
first
are
thing
some things he wouldn't do that to your mum.
No.
He wouldn't do that to your mum.
No.
Right, but that's
and
what
I
I'm saying.
I told you I did the first thing I did. I called my mum.
And you need to stop doing that. I told you that as well.
I called my mum. I said,
get him, Hoyo.
And I did
put
that.
The phone.
And then I did that.
You need to stop. But I mean,
I said...
Hoya wants to talk to you. This is what I'm saying.
I should have really
but this is what I'm
like,
saying.
No, let me try to resolve this. But,
it's so hard to undo that, babe.
Because that's all I know.
Yeah.
All I know is that when I have problems with my son,
mm-hmm.
I'm calling General. Hello? That she, and he's
because
telling.
For a long time, she was his mum as well.
Yes, she was.
So it's
the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And also the boundaries, not just with your son, because things always transfer. Do you actually have boundaries, one with yourself, in your workplace and with your family and with your friends? A lot of the times, no, because there's no way you would have even known to have boundaries with your son if you didn't have it elsewhere as well.
Mm.
And even like this, I don't want to go into this right now. This is why a lot of young people get into certain situations, because they don't feel comfortable with certain boundaries with people, because they've not had that comfortability with doing it in the house. So it's just easy go, because I've never known how to do it. And also, one of the things that you did mention as well was the thing, I've given you everything you want. I've always sacrificed red hair. That speech.
That was my speech.
And
Oscar nomination. I'm telling you.
And the thing is, children are not responsible for your emotions. And that thing of saying a child in need, because that's what you needed, or is that what they actually need? And a lot of the time, what they actually need is just for you to actually take the time, put the phone away, and spend time with them to actually be interested in what they're doing, instead of, oh, good job, it actually does, your work looks good, bye. Because a lot of the time, this is what we're doing. And
people are just rushing through life.
Just rushing quickly. And then also the thing of getting triggered by him lying to you. But then because you make the child feel responsible for your emotions, his coping mechanism to not feel that shame from I've let my mom down is to lie.
Yeah.
So because of your reaction to him not making a mistake, but doing something that he knew he shouldn't be doing, he's going to lie. And now it starts to become a habit. So because I want to shield myself from feeling how I've made my mom feel, I'm now going to lie or make up an excuse, or I don't allow myself to actually make mistakes because of how my mom is going to react. So now you're just thinking, my mom's going to go off, my mom's going to be mad, instead of actually thinking of what you should be doing in the moment. And because it's like, instead of actually guiding your child to the answer, you're just telling them. So it's just like this. And that thing that I went back to saying why you would get triggered, if all the time that you've been told what to do, you're feeling dumb, that's how the child feels as well. And even at your big age, if you are at work and someone's always telling you what to do, you're going to be vexed. It's like, why are you chatting to me, bro? And when you start to look at it like that and see that if your child actually makes you angry, just this for the egotistical people, that means your child can control your emotions. Are you letting a little child control your emotions? Is that how weak you are? And this is just for the egotistical people.
That will make them think, no.
Yeah, let me, like, and when you start to calm yourself down, you teach your child how to do that. And it's little things, there's like a butterfly hug, there's a thing where it looks dumb, but you're literally, your back is on the floor and your legs are up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It literally helps regulate your nervous system. Obviously, deep breathing, people know that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just counting or progressive muscle relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Before you respond or you try and discipline your child, punish them, that's the first thing you do. Because you have to clear your head, because then you're responding from the emotional state of your mind, which is the state that your child is at. So you're literally meeting your child where they are. Like, at where they are, but you're not actually meeting them at their level for them to understand.
Mm.
And sometimes when they say, parents say that, you understand when you're older, I'm sorry, that's BS, because the thing, that means that you didn't know how to communicate to me properly when I was a young person. So now I have to be older to see the thing behind what you wanted to teach me, but you did not have the tools to communicate it properly.
We're at this age.
Yeah.
You can't wait until you're older to learn everything.
Yeah. And the thing is, because you couldn't communicate it properly, now I've gone and not listened to you and done certain things. But if you actually calmed down, was able to communicate it to me, or even just guide me to the answer, instead of having to be the person that's right and did know it all.
Being right.
Yeah.
People enjoy that a lot.
So it's like, now you're seeing that it's not that I'll understand when I'm older. You just don't know how to communicate properly.
Yeah.
Damn, Daniel.
You got me. You got me, sister.
I'm telling you, she got all of us. How would you say your parenting is different to how you've parented? Obviously, your son is still very young.
Yeah.
But what have you done differently so far?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get there? How did you manage to do that? Considering it's probably the complete opposite of what, or somewhat opposite of what you experienced.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, first you have to understand the child's developmental age. So Cavell's like 14 months, 15 months. He's literally impulsive. So when he's hitting, like scratching or whatever, kids see that as play. So when you understand,
but we see it as disrespect, you know.
Yeah, and then we're seeing it as disrespect. It's like, if you don't spank them, they're not gonna know good from bad. No, you start to teach them how to be gentle, how to have gentle hands or whatnot, or you start to teach empathy to see that if they hit someone, it's gonna hurt. So as their brain starts to develop and they can even understand emotions, because at this age you can't even understand emotions, and even it's like, let's say the last time, I think, yeah, he had finished bathing or whatever. I left the cream over there, it was open. This boy just put his hands
in there. Every child has had that experience.
Yeah.
You come in the room and they're covered in cream.
Yeah.
He just put his hands in it. Luckily, I found him on time. But the thing is, I'm not now going to get angry because he's gone there, because if you, I understand that he's not developed mentally ready to understand that you're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my responsibility to put it away.
Yeah.
So who was actually in the wrong? Because a lot of the time, the things that we beat our children for,
yeah,
it's like, even a six-year-old, you're leaving them playing unattended in the living room, and you come back and they've colored across the walls. Why are you leaving a child unattended with crayons?
Whose fault is it? What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I see blank canvas. The wall.
Exactly, Picasso. The children, isn't it?
Yeah. But
do you think, because again, coming back to the point, like, you know, when as a parent you're stressed out because life is not just being a parent, maybe like you're working, there's other things in life that stresses you out, like, you know, other triggers, isn't it? Yeah.
So
so when your child does that, you just zone in on that, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you let your frustrations out on the child.
But that's about because that. You get stepping triggered. Away from it first.
But again, yes, it's true. But so when you said earlier to deal with your own emotions first before you take it out on your child. Yeah, it's very important. And sorry, and a lot of parents don't do that.
Yeah.
I think most probably
most,
don't do that.
They'll say, I don't have a gentle child, so I can't gentle parent. Like, before I gave birth,
I've
said,
heard that.
I felt this anxiety. I need to conquer this anxiety because there's no way, because I know that mirror neurons, like, when you're anxious, your child, it mirrors onto them. So that's why, like, if you're calm and your child is crying, they calm down. With Kavar, I noticed that he calms down when I hug him and stuff.
Yeah.
So even if I take something from him he's not supposed to be holding or whatever, sometimes it's like, oh, I just give it back to him for him to stop crying. No, I take it away. He can still cry, but I'll still hug him.
Yeah.
I'm not putting him in the naughty corner because that's going to make him start feeling isolated. Yeah. So it's now, he's going to associate. Whenever I do something my mom don't like, she's going to isolate me and leave me. And I'm going to feel more sad. And I saw something saying that kids are so narcissistic that they think everything is about them.
They
I wouldn't say they're narcissistic, but
they have main character syndrome.
Yeah, main character syndrome.
Because that's all they know. Everything is about them to them.
Yeah.
So when you're making them feel bad, they'll think that, oh, I've made my parent feel this way.
They hate me.
Yeah. And it's like, now what I do is I calm myself. I don't even need to be calm because I don't even get upset because it's like, he doesn't even understand what he's doing. But as he's starting to but I'll still do what he's supposed to do, say that, okay, if you're biting, do you want something to bite on? I saw this on a thing, and then I just give it to him to bite on, so that instead of him trying to bite my arm off. Yeah. And you're replacing it. You're redirecting their energy. So now you're teaching them
rather than to hold his face and say, you don't bite mommy. You know, that's the, but seriously, that's the kind of thing that you see people do to their children.
It's so true.
You don't bite. It's wrong. And then okay. Seriously.
Yeah. And it's like, a lot of the times when you see what you're upset with a child about, was there something that you should have done? Like, should you have put them, like, not left them what's that word?
Unattended.
Unattended.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time, that's what it is. Because you're not watching them. That's why they have the leeway to do certain things.
Mm.
Like, I can't get upset at him for going into the drawers and dashing out all the books.
Yeah.
Because that's him exploring.
And once you start this little punishment thing, it goes on as well. You know that. I remember when I was young, like, my grandma, if you do something wrong, you go into the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
And you'll have to hold your hands like this.
Yeah, you have to hold your hands like one leg. You're like, ah! Please, what happened? And then you associate, every time I do something bad, I'm going to get punished.
Yeah.
But then kids are smart. They're going to start developing. They're going to be thinking.
How to hide it.
How to hide it.
You learn to lie.
Yeah, you
learn to
lie. The best liars.
The ones but also, I don't know, me, I feel like at a certain age, I don't know, when I used to get beaten, I used to just be like, I'm going to a different planet and I'm getting licked down, you know, and I'm not there anymore.
Do you know why? It's because
I'm not there. I'm not used to it. Yeah. And I used to be like,
it's like, what's the worst you could do? Are you going to beat me?
Yeah.
You just get used to it. You know, after a while, after a few beats, you're like,
and then you go to bed, you just cry it off. You wake up the next day, you say, nah.
And then you're going to do the same thing again.
You start laughing whilst they're beating you to show that's not hurting because you know it's going to trigger them.
The beats hurt, but it's like, I don't know, I've been here before, innit? I recognise these slaps, so there's no point. But I think...
So what are you teaching... What are you teaching your children?
I saw this thing on Instagram once, and then I'll send it to you. The woman was like, what do you wish you could tell your parent when they were beating you or shouting at you or just punished you when you did something wrong? Someone said that, what am I learning within this moment about what I did wrong to do better later?
Nothing.
You're just getting smacked up. There's nothing in correlation. One in the comment section was, this lady was like, even though I wasn't hungry, I didn't want to eat that specific food. Even though you sent me to the room, don't you know I was still hungry and wanted to eat? I just didn't like that food.
Yeah.
I felt so, I was like, oh my days. And it was like another one as well. Do you think punishing me like this is going to improve our relationship or make it worse?
And the thing is, I mean, I personally don't have any feelings towards being beaten. I've always said that.
Yeah.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. But... like, I don't look back and think,
I was abused.
Yeah, me neither, to be honest.
There's only one time my mum's beat me where she went clean.
You did something big.
No, you know what? Again, my mum was tired.
Yes.
My mum was tired. And my mum...
sensory overload.
The thing is, again, this, you know, my dad bought me a television for my bedroom, which my mum didn't agree with. No. I shouldn't have a TV in my room.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what she's watching.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Once I go to my bed, I don't know what she's watching at nighttime. And also, it's going to keep her up. But my dad bought me the TV because I was spoiled. If I said to my dad, I want the moon, he'd be like, right. And try to pull it down.
Yeah.
Anything I wanted, my dad would give me.
Yeah.
So my dad bought me a TV and I... no, I don't even want to say it because it's so embarrassing.
That's...
There used to be this show called Brookside, yeah?
I remember Brookside. Wow.
And the woman, Tracy, she murdered her husband and she buried him. Mm-hmm. In our garden, yeah. I didn't want to say I'm so embarrassed. And then, basically, one episode, yeah, Trevor's hand came out the floor. I think she was dreaming that he was coming back from the dead. But I had a cabin bed. You know the beds that is raised off the floor? And you have to climb a little ladder to get onto
yes,
them.
Oh, yes.
I convinced myself that Trevor was underneath my bed. I said, Trevor's in there. Every night I used to go sleep.
Trevor's
like, listen... In the end, I used to drive myself so mad that I would bang the wall for my mum to come.
Yeah.
I've told you my mum had three jobs.
Yes.
One night, after weeks of me doing this nonsense, she had had enough. And I knew that my life was over because I heard the footsteps coming from her room and it was not calm footsteps.
No.
And I knew. And that beating I got that night, you know, I swear to God, I didn't even know what was happening. And the thing is, I was inside the blanket just going like this. I swear now. She opened the door so hard that the handle went through the wall. The door got stuck. Listen.
She was mad.
I was like this fighting for my life. I could just see the white sheet. I didn't know what was happening. And that's the only time my mom's ever beat me. That she, my mom still apologizes about that to this day.
Yeah.
But.
It's because she was probably, tired.
She was at the end of her rope. And it's me for weeks. About Trevor. Under my bed. Trevor. When I told you not to have no TV in your room,
got beat,
I think she wanted to smash the TV on the floor. But basically, I've never been, like, I don't know, I don't really care about being beaten.
But
I know a lot of people do. Mm. And that doesn't mean, just because I don't care about being beaten, it doesn't mean that it was right. Do you get what I mean? I know for one, I definitely don't want to hit my child, yeah? Mm-hmm. My husband's never been hit in his whole life.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? I'm not going to lie to you. I know it sounds wrong, but because he's African as well.
Yeah, you're like, ah.
Oh. I was like, what a miracle. Nobody just pop out.
Ever.
Never. So what did your parents do to you? He's like, they just used to talk to us. I'm like,
what?
And he would do mad stuff. Like he used to take his dad's car and drive to school.
See?
And do mad stuff, you know? And he never got beaten.
And some
never.
Parents would be like, if he got beaten, he wouldn't do that.
And there's so many of them, mm-hmm. and not one of them have been beaten. And they're all normal human beings.
Yeah.
None of them are mash up.
Yeah. Gentle parenting.
So, but I just didn't, I was like, what do you mean nobody ever hit you?
It sounds crazy.
Like, how?
Because
on top of that, he grew up in Africa. Yeah. Do you get it? He grew up in Gambia. All of them did. So what do you mean nobody slapped you? Never, never. And he's like, no, we've never been beaten. So like, just move on. But I just couldn't let it go. But now it made me realize that, number one, I already knew I didn't want to hit my kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But seeing him, I'm like, wow, an adult specimen that's never been beaten. Because I know people now are trying it now, but you haven't seen what happens. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, wow, a grown man who's never been beaten, who's just fine. It's possible.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? But honestly,
the future's very bright.
I just thought to myself, maybe we got beaten because what else could my mum do? But actually, there's loads of things that could have been done. We can't just say, they beat me because there was nothing else they could do.
Mm. You know what's crazy? I remember one time in secondary school, we were walking home from school and we were talking about whether we were going to beat our kids or not. And most of us said we were. But miss, this time we were actually in year 10. We're around year 10.
Please, people used to look forward to beating their kids.
Literally. And it's so crazy when you think about that because... And also, even me, I don't have a negative associate. Like, I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I've been beaten. So I got beats in school. I grew up in Ghana. So you get beats in school as well. So, but I thought that.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
I thought that the beats were like, that's the reason why I didn't do certain things. But then when you start to understand that before you get to that level, there's so many different things that leads up to that. And it's like communication, this, that, and the other, and actually understanding the needs of the child. And one thing is that children are we as people, we naturally test the bounds. Mm-hmm. Like for people to make breakthroughs, they come up with crazy things. Like before you get a promotion, you have to now go and come and ask your boss, push the boundaries a bit to see the next level you can get to.
Mm.
So if we do that as adults, but then as we're children is being beaten out of us, that's why a lot of people are going to be miserable, because you're living to someone else's standards and you're not even allowing yourself to push the bounds, because mm-hmm. it's like, if I push the bounds, I'm gonna get beat, or what's gonna happen is that fatalistic thing as well.
Mm.
Ooh, you know one thing I want to talk about?
Go. Mm.
The angry black woman.
What about her?
How that's not just a stereotype. People are saying that, sometimes you're just presenting... Obviously, not all black women are angry black women, but it's not just a stereotype, because that is under the pain or the hurt and stuff. That's how it comes out.
It's the suffering, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a sign of anxiety, because it's like, some people are just snappy because it's like, you've hurt me so much, I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. That's their coping and defensive mechanism. It's a
defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you come across as angry, because you are.
Yeah.
You are actually angry. Uh-huh.
And a lot of the time, we go straight to saying that, why are you always portraying black women in this state? But then you're literally in what's going on, you're angry as a woman. And the reason I'm saying that is not to say that all black women are angry, this is a sign that there's a problem, mm-hmm. and there's trauma behind something that's not been dealt with, and that you need to deal with it.
So rather than being angry with the description or the depiction, we should be thinking about what has caused
them to get to that level.
Yeah, because you see a lot of young girls mm-hmm. angry, acting out, and then you're just thinking, and then people will say, oh, it's their parents, or they haven't been raised well. No. They're angry because they're suffering.
Yeah.
They're going through trauma.
And also, they're mirroring what they've seen. They must be angry.
Yes.
Because what they've been through.
Give them grace, rather than...
But we have to do the work.
Yeah. Yes. The adults need to do the work.
Got a lot of work to do, guys.
got a lot of work. Because how many of our aunties do we know that are angry? Yeah. Any small thing, licks?
Any small thing, you're getting beat down. Exactly. Any small thing, they're going crazy.
They're shouting.
Any small thing, they feel disrespected, like they're ready to jump.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And they take it out on their children, and then you're just mm-hmm. passing that out. You're passing that to your children, and their children's going to pass it to their children. But you want to get to a point where you want to break that, isn't it?
You have to break that generational cycle. Trauma. Yeah.
You have to.
And also that thing of, my child needs to do better than me. But how can your child do better if they've never seen better?
Yeah.
If they've never seen you rise above it and always being reactive
mm-hmm.
to the situation, being instead of being responsive.
Ooh,
how would they know to do better?
I'm gonna bottle that in.
And when
it's true, it's true. Yeah. You've given me a lot of thoughts, Danielle.
I mean, I can definitely be quite reactive. I'm not explosive when I'm reactive, but I can... You have seen it. This poor child has suffered under my rule.
I'm going to go mad. No, I've not even me.
I'm telling you now, they've seen it. Because let me tell you something.
I believe
it. Listen, sometimes I've definitely flamed those kids before. Yeah. They've really suffered. There was no democracy in my classroom.
Obviously.
At some point. Yeah. So I understand now, and it really does make you think about, you know, your own behaviors, but also, like, we can't just keep saying, as you said, yeah, I'm triggered by this. If we know what our triggers are, guys, it's time to start working on yes, how we can undo that stuff.
You know, earlier you were saying that you've done the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti-therapy as well.
No.
But that's only half of the way.
Exactly.
Because even what we do, we help you uncover the root of stuff. But if after you don't know what to do, it's like...
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, it's like trying to eat healthier, but then you've dashed out all the unhealthy things, but you haven't actually looked at the healthy meals you can make that you actually like.
Yeah.
You're going to go back.
You now just went to buy lentils and tomato and you don't know what to make.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh. So literally the thing is taking practical steps. So even let's say with people pleasing, challenging myself maybe once a week. If I might not agree with something or I need to advocate for myself, I'll actually do that and I'll write it down. So now I'm getting myself into the habit of doing that. So now every time, or if it's setting boundaries, if I think I've not set a boundary, so for each day during the week, I'll set a boundary once, at least a minimum of once, and I'll write down why I didn't want to set the boundary. But as you do it, you keep on increasing twice next week, twice a day next week, three times a day next week. After now, your body, you start to become familiarized with it. So now it's no longer foreign to you. So you keep on doing that. Another thing we do with Alex, her business partner, is flow state. So it's about being comfortable with letting go. So it's just being able to trust your subconscious mind. So you're okay with letting go and not having control. And then
not having control.
Yeah. Because most of this thing is like wanting to have control.
This stuff is in the workbook you gave me.
Yeah, it's in the journal. Because we literally put everything into that journal.
So hopefully, when will you be doing more workshops and stuff like that? Because me, I need to attend.
And also the journal. When are you lot planning on releasing? Yeah,
we've actually released the journal. It's okay, on Amazon. Wait.
Tell
the
people where can we find it?
It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
What is it called? Tell the people.
So the journal is called the Transcending Anxiety Journal. Mm-hmm. And it's called Transcending Anxiety. It doesn't have journal on it.
Yeah.
But we'll put the link in. And literally, it takes you on a journey from first uncovering the root causes to now putting things in place to first kind of have a coping mechanism, but we don't just want you to cope. So then we actually help you transcend, which is the things I was talking about now with the flow state and stuff. So now you're actually meeting, most of the time it's like, I'm going to ignore this thing because it's a trigger. No, you're facing it head on.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're actually comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And now it's no longer going to have that power to trigger you because you're actually okay with it.
Yeah.
And that's where the practical work comes in, because a lot of the time we're just like, yeah, I'm just going to live with it, or that's just how I am. No, that's not just how you are. That's a coping or defensive mechanism, and you can actually take steps to change it. And it's just as more about rewiring your brain and your nervous system to start doing that,
mm-hmm.
which is what our journal helps you with, and our program, which is more hands-on, also helps you with as well. We're starting to kind of like do more of that.
Oh, thank you so much.
There's a few things on here called transcendent anxiety. So is your one the one that's by Missy Miss?
No, it's what's it called?
We'll put the link, but we're...
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming, Danielle. 2024, gentle parenting. No more shouting. And what I've learned from this whole podcast... Sort yourself out, crying before you take out your ton.
No, I mean, listen, and I don't want you to walk away feeling bad. Because that doesn't help either.
If you're walking around feeling
guilt and shame, it's not going to help you to challenge this.
Yeah.
You know, but 100%. I think there's a lot to be taken from this. I mean, we could carry on talking for the next 20 years.
Yep.
But please let us know, like, your own parenting experiences, what you're trying to do differently as a parent in comparison to how you were parented, in the comments. We will put all Danielle's information in the description on Spotify, Apple, and then obviously on YouTube. Yes, buy the journal. I'm going to buy one even though you already gave it to me. We have to support.
Yes.
So, yeah, please get the journal if you want to transcend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or to rise.
One thing I want to say as well, if you've seen yourself exhibiting this, these signs of being angry, like just being reactive, it's not a blame thing. It's a thing of now I'm aware, now I can do better, because blame is not going to get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have no reason. I can't judge anybody because I was just lucky that my coping mechanism might have been something else. Mm. There's a fine line between me and other people that are doing madness. I was just lucky with my environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. You're right. Not blaming myself, but working on myself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you, guys.
And we have been Pirates and I Caribbean and Danielle Coleman.
And a Ghanaian.
And a Ghanaian.
The ship is expanding. I love it. Okay. Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye. This definitely Abdurrahman.